It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where we do our best to help you understand how complicated we are as human beings and to make sure that you try to balance out the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the spiritual aspects of who you are. And I have as a returning guest, Dr. Pat Malone, and she's the CEO and founder of Health Team Network, which is a company dedicated to your health, lifestyle, and mindset. She's also very passionate about sharing knowledge as well as solutions to issues that may be keeping you from getting to the top of your game. And she has the results to prove that her systems work. We're going to jump into that, but I always want to remind everyone that if you go to www.synergyconnectionradio.com, all of the shows are archived there, as well as on the national platforms for Apple, for Google, for iHeartRadio, and for Spotify. So the older ones are archived at the website. And when you jump to the website, the landing page has a link to Boomers Forever Young. These are products that I've used for over 5 years. And when you talk about physical well-being, it is a place that I think you could investigate. I certainly have felt the difference by using these products over the last 5 years. And they also have a podcast. They have an extensive blog. They have video recordings of a lot of their products and how they're made. They have over 2,000 testimonials, which is just totally amazing. And they have a staff there that will help and assist you understand the products and place your order if you're not savvy enough to do it on your own. And some people aren't. I mean, it's a little complicated. And so if you need help, you know, they're there to assist you. And I often use them myself. So check them out. And if you decide that you're going to order some stuff, then on the checkout, if you put in my first name, L-U-C-Y, you're going to get a discount of $5. And, you know, in today's inflationary times, I think $5 is a nice discount on whatever you're deciding to try. So welcome back to the show, Pat. And you and I are going to see each other in the not too distant future in person. But today it's going to be on a recorded line. And we're going to be talking about the mindset of success.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a return visitor here in more ways than one. And, you know, and share knowledge. I love doing that. I love making massive difference in people's lives, you know, and really see people thrive. And sometimes it's just right when they're, I'm going to quit. I'm going to change something else. It's when they have the biggest breakthrough ever that they have, you know, in their all aspects of their life, physical, mental, emotionally, spiritual, social. So I really, and financially, and I really, really appreciate being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. I love having you as a guest and as a personal friend as well. One of the things that I think people don't exactly understand what a mindset is. So maybe you can share, you know, from your perspective, because I know in my mind, you know, what it is. And a lot of times, you know, to me, it's kind of like that law of attraction that was so popular about 10 years ago, that as you think, you know, you're going to create. And so you need to watch that. But it's a lot more than just the law of attraction. Mindset is looking at that predominant thought pattern that all of us have. And so, you know, how about you maybe describing it from how you use it with your own clients?
Well, you know, I go back to Napoleon Hill, because mm-hmm. Napoleon Hill wrote this book, Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
And he really addresses the idea of mindset in this book more than one way. And he also talks about the importance of community, which he called in that book, mastermind. And there's a lot of masterminds around because they took those words and they're using them to create communities, and communities are so important. So my idea of like mindset and where it comes from, you know, when you're growing up, you know, you see your leaders are your parents. you know, and maybe you're in your community, other people's parents, you know, or the neighbor next door. And when you see somebody that keeps on doing something the same way over and over and over and over again, they end up adapting to a specific style of movement, thought, you know, and belief systems that come from places that might not serve us anymore. So when I talk to people about mindset, I talk about like, where does that come from? When someone tells me that they can't succeed at something, you know, and I always ask like, well, where did you, who told you you were a failure? And you believe them, you know? And so, and looking at that belief, you know, that desire, you know, that we have to, you know, put it in, you know, and have that expectation that what we believe in and what we desire is going to actually happen. And so, you know, I had a woman one time who was a client, and, you know, she had this big red mark on her leg. And I said, where did it come from? And she goes, I don't know. I said, were you born like that? She said, no. And I said, so where did it come from? And she was half American, half Japanese. And so she talked about, we looked at food because if it didn't come from something, you know, like it, you didn't have a trauma or you didn't have a genetic disease or something like that, then where did it come from?
Right.
And the amazing thing was in her case is that one day we had this conversation. And then when we had this conversation, she said, I go, why are you so edgy? Today you've got something else going on. So let's forget about talking about food and like what you can do, like how to ration what you need to eat to be well and healthy. And let's talk about what you need to ration so that you can be healthy inside, you know? And so we had this conversation, and at one point in time, and she goes, I asked the question, she answered at the same time. I said, who do I remind you of right now? Your mother or your father? And there was dead silence. And she said, you remind me of my father.
Wow.
And I said, so I go, let's talk about your father. You know, and she goes, I don't know if I want to do that. I said, yes, you do. Because you can get mad at me. You can pretend I'm your father. I don't care. And I said, but let's find out what's holding you back from a thought pattern that you had before. So he always was very protective of her, even with her other members of her family. And what triggered all the stuff off 35 years later, you know, was her brother coming home from Japan to visit in the state. And all this, this mindset stuff, like, why do you put that there? You know, it's because my mother did it, you know, and that type of thing. Her breakthrough shortly after that, without doing very much, you know, a little change in her diet that we worked on, and that spot that was on her leg started to shrink.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
You know, and it's just like, and so you just like, don't like, what's that tied to? Because is it tied to an organ system? You have to find out where some of that comes from. So it's, our thoughts are so powerful. It's crucial to have control of our minds so that we have a very good handle and master our thoughts.
And, you know, when you're talking about that, I want to bring up something that I just read yesterday that I didn't know. And maybe you know this. But when you talk about mindset, when malaria was rampant in countries, they ran out of a particular herb that they were using to treat it. And because of the Buddhist belief in this particular country, as long as they said to themselves that this herb will heal me, even though they didn't have it, the body reacted as though it did.
And use it as medicinal.
Yes.
You know, when I went into, when I started chiropractic college, like 1981, you know, I thought, I'm never going to be able to do this. This is all medical stuff. And I just got done doing pre-med in college. And I got B's, some C's, occasional A's. But, you know, so I was in that, like, you know, 2.8 something, you know, realm. And 2.9, I got up to a 3.0 at some point in time when I was in chiropractic school. But it was a real struggle for my mind because a lot of times I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. Or I wasn't going to remember stuff. So they taught us at the school. It was very interesting. They taught us at the school about how powerful your mind is in healing. And also in being successful in anything that you do. If you want to lose weight, You know, if you want to, run, or you want to think that you can do something, look at all those people who end up in a wheelchair from an accident and then get up and become Olympians.
Exactly.
Right? And do other things that they say someone told them they couldn't do it.
Right.
So it's just like, and taking a look at, and I was blessed also because my father used to challenge me, and that's how he got me to do things. And like, I bet you, kind of thing. And sometimes you never even use the word bet, but when you challenge, when you have that challenge, and it resonates with you, you say, "Watch me,"
Exactly.
and then when the right pieces of the puzzle are there, other parts of the universe, so to speak, in that woo-woo sense, they fall into place.
Exactly.
And then, and your mind controls. The mind control that we have is important. There's, things like the Silva method, for you helping for using for mind control, which is a, and I don't mean mind control in a negative sense. I mean, like, to better your life. Like, he would never use that technique on somebody to have advantageous gain and have them fail. It's a win-win scenario, and it's a win-win type of program and platform that Silva's taught upon. But I think it's really interesting. When I see people be so defeatist about themselves that they sometimes really can't get out of their own way in their mindset, because somewhere along the line they saw their mother say, I just struggle all the time. So their realm of what reality is I struggle all the time. And anytime I have things too easy, I'll go out of my way and sabotage myself. And so I can struggle too.
Isn't that, I was just thinking, how many people, now this is a generational thing, but in our generation, if you put a challenge out there, I think most of us, unless we were in families that were really dysfunctional, you would rise to the challenge and say, oh yes, I can. Watch me, like you said before. But this younger generation that is currently in their 20s, excuse me, a lot of times when you challenge them, they go, you're right, I can't. And
That's
so they have adopted another philosophy.
Well, they also have accepted, when I lived in Washington, D.C., the biggest thing that was so prevalent to me was how complacent people were. And that was in like 2012, let's say, right in that realm. And so when I was like, when I was in D.C., I mean, I had, God bless you, I had a lot of connections to go to events that were high-end events. And I was so astounded. I kept on thinking, when did all these people get so complacent? And it's like they're like no one was using their voice, and there are some political things that happened, internationally, that it really came home to me that people are being, like something like you can manipulate, your brain is being manipulated to like to downsize your expectation of what you really can be,
Right.
and
Well, we
like
saw that all during the pandemic. Everybody just kind of accepted this is the way it was going to be. And since then, I think that complacency has still around. We look for others to tell us the way to do things rather than going within and finding our own way.
Well, there's logistics around pandemics and actually how long they last, and so statistically, the stationing, let's say, of some like information, misinformation, and disinformation that went out during that time was made people confused. And we all know in the marketplace, confused buyers don't buy.
Oh, true, true.
And so when people, and then that mindset's there, and they're going, well, what? And then there's that big group of people that are what if, like, well, what if? And you're thinking, well, what if not? What if you, like, when you drive cross country, you have a great time? How about if you drive cross country and you don't do stupid things? Like, you don't stay in some no-tell motel on Highway 66, or something like that. And you do like smart, and you do like smart things. You look at, like, okay, so what's a chain of restaurants? When I drove cross country more than once, I've always looked for Outback Steakhouses. I don't necessarily eat there, but they're put demographically in certain places because it draws a certain group of people. But that mindset is like, I can do it. You know, I don't think anything. I have friends calling me up on that trip saying, are you okay? Where are you at now? And I said, will you please stop calling me? I go, you are the first person I will call if I get in trouble. I mean, like, if you don't hear from me in 3 days, okay, then text me, but don't call. You don't have to call me every day, you know, but they're so scared. I mean, even my mother was like that when the first time I went to Europe. I had three girlfriends that were supposed to go. So there's four of us and they all bailed out and I still ended up going. And my father said to me at the airport, because he challenged me all the time, right? He said to me at the airport, you know, you don't have to go, you know, just because you said you're going to go. And I just said to him, I never thought about not going. My going to Europe had nothing to do with them coming along or not. If they came along, great. If they didn't come along, that was perfectly fine with me.
Right. My brother did that when he graduated from college. He decided he was going to go spend the summer in Europe. And he went by himself. And he met wonderful people along the way and did a lot of backpacking and, you know, walking. And, you know, he had a great time.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I went to Europe, you know, I went to Amsterdam and I got on a train on a Sunday with my one credit card I owned, which is the Diners at the time, and like 60 francs, you know, and on a Sunday night, no banks open, you know, nothing. And I arrived at the Gare du Nord at like 8:30 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I think it was, because there was the Gardome walking around kicking everybody out because they were closing. And I was sitting on my luggage thinking, what the heck am I going to do? You know, and like, why didn't I leave tomorrow morning? You know, and like, and then after I got past that and just sitting down and deciding what I was going to do, this guy came up to me and he said, lady, you seem like a nice girl. And he said, you don't belong in here. And he said, the police are, and like, he explained this whole thing to me. And I could see the police doing this. So it wasn't like he was making it up. And he said, let's find a hotel for you to go stay in. And I said, what do you do? And he goes, I'm a pickpocket.
Oh my gosh.
And I went, really? I mean, is that a profession? I mean, but that's who I, that was the person who I met, who decided that he liked me and who got me into a hotel, you know, and cause he spoke fluent French, even though I had French genes, like 75%, you know, I didn't speak French well enough. He got me into the room so that, you know, that I had lock, key and blah, blah, blah. And he came the next day and took me to the hotel that I originally was going to stay at, that I was one day, you know, I missed my reservation up because I didn't know how to get there. And it was like, it was too, for the first time, it was too confusing. And got me all the way over there. And on the way over, we stopped at a couple places so he could show me what he thought Paris was to him.
And did exhibit his craft? Pickpocketing?
No, but what he did is he showed me where to stand on metros. And he also showed me people who were doing it.
No, really?
So it was very, very instructional. You know, it's just like, you know, do you see the woman there and the way her purse is, you know? And he said, if you say anything, he goes, it will ruin my life, you know? And, you know, so I just sat there like and watched because I thought, you know, because he could have easily stole all my stuff. He could have stole my money when I was at the, you know, and totally led me astray. And, you know, and he, you know, I go, even pickpockets are nice in Paris. That's what I said, you know, and then he got me to where I was at, gave me his phone number. If you get in trouble or you need anything, you call me, you know, and so I just, and he, in the morning that he came back to meet me to take me over, cause I'm thinking, oh, he'll never show up. You know, he brought me coffee and croissant, you know, and we, you know, and stopped and had, you know, at this cafe to have those things. It was very sweet. You know, it's just like, but if you don't put yourself out there, and you have to have a good sense, mm-hmm. you have to, like, sometimes you just go, this is not a good scenario, you know, and like, you know, when I was in college in a bar and like, you could just all of a sudden everyone's dancing and all of a sudden you have that feeling like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden the fight breaks out and you're thinking, get to the door you know, and get out of here now. But it's like, it's learning to pay attention to those intuitional things that we're all born with.
Right.
You know, and then being able to engage in them. So, and that happens. It's very useful, you know, at work, at home, or play. in any relationship too, you know, and having that. So when people have the same problem over and over again, like another client of mine decided that she was, you know, writing her husband this 5-page letter. And I said, he'll never read it. And she said, what do you mean he'll never read it? And I said, what does the first 2 lines say? And she told me what they were. And I said, you can't say those lines to him. And I said, he's not going to read it. He's going to look at it. He's going to fold it up and he's going to send it back to you or throw it away or say, you know, when you ask him about it, because he's not going to say anything to you. You know, I said, he's just, you just got to put those pieces of the puzzle together the right way. And so I had her read a book that was all about how people communicate, you know, and my big question that was a really like, you know, like big change for her direction was when she said to me, you know, and I said to her, how old does he act when he gets upset? And so she said, 10. I mean, it was like instantaneous.
Instant.
10, you know, and I said, then you need to craft your letter like you're talking to a 10-year-old.
Awesome.
And it can't be any, I go, can't be more than a page.
Right.
Page and a half max.
Right.
And she's, you know, initially, I vividly remember her face on the Zoom call. We were on this. She goes, how do you know this stuff? And I said, well, I've done a lot of research because I like to see people thrive. I like to see people make massive differences. And if you keep on doing the same thing that you've done before for all these years, wherever you learn that habit at, you know, I said, for all these years, then it's, I go, then you're by definition insane. And I said, let's change the trajectory. Like, you know, what language does he listen in? Uh-huh. Does he listen? He's an auditory person or whatever. And you've got to speak to him. You have to blow it up a skirt. I said in the first 2 sentences or else he's not going to get past them.
Right.
You know?
And right.
Then on the third one, you know, you can make a suggestion. You know, it's just like, hey, this is happening, you know, shortly. And I want us to go to it. You know, and I said, so, but you build it up. So he's already in a good mood by the time he reads the thing that kind of might be like a hair across the back of his neck, you know, but it doesn't like it, but it's, you know, but he can move on. And when he reads the next sentence, you're saying something really wonderful to him again. And, you know, and then he's in for the rest of the letter. And then you can state your thing very clear. And just pretend you're talking to your boss when you're given a presentation. You know, because she had a huge executive role in a company. And, you know, but it's just like all those things that happen to us personally, a lot of times we can stifle those while we're in our businesses, but they come to surface periodically, you know, so wherever the imbalance is at, that's where it shows up. But anyway, he listened to the whole thing, you know, and ended up, you know, doing what she wanted to do. And she, you're genius.
and she got it down to 1 page, huh?
And she got it down to 1.5 pages. But the, you know, or just on the second page. But I go, if it's not a short read for him, he's 10 years old when he gets upset, you know, and that was like such a key, you know, her big takeaway was like, she learned to communicate with a significant other, and that you can take that style of communication into a workplace. You can take it in, like I said, into a relationship, you know, at home, you know, in your friends, you know, anytime.
When we talk about the mindset of success, I know you see it across the board. Like if somebody wants to get into better physical health, or if they want to improve their job opportunities, or if they want a healthy relationship, is there any area that you see that it doesn't work as well in?
Well, it doesn't work as well if we don't have good wellness initiatives that you've incorporated in your life.
Right.
So like, you know, so that like the biggest part that I see, like people who, like, you know, executives and entrepreneurs who are very high level, all take care of their health. You know, majority of them have a coach, a mentor, or both, you know, to guide them along the way in that aspect so that they can do more, be more productive and have the balance that they need. And so I would say that, like, what I see is when people aren't reaching those pieces of the puzzle, it's because some of the wellness initiatives are not being taken care of, and they're not taking doing self-care, you know, and they're not doing those pieces of that puzzle to support creating a foundation. A lot of people are always trying to get the magic pill, put the cart before the horse, and my new question since last time I saw you, I asked people, I said, what do you want to drive? Do you want to drive a jalopy? Do you want to drive a Mustang, or you want to drive a Ferrari? Mm-hmm. And if you drive a Ferrari, just know that some Ferraris, the brakes are on the steering wheel, not the floor. They have brake pedals. So if you get into a Ferrari and you don't know how to drive and you don't know that car has brake pedals, you're probably going to kill yourself.
Or at least crash.
Or for sure crash, And how do I know? Because I did that. And, in someone's Ferrari, they never told me how much damage that we did. But I was coming around the corner and the guy goes, you know where the brakes are, right? And I said, on the floor? And he said, no. And, so it's like on the brakes, right where your hands are at right now, grab those paddles. And so, and I hit one. I didn't think he had hit two, and the back end, one side
oh, no.
brake caught, and the other side, the car just spun out and it spun into a curb and it just sliced off the back of the, from the driver's door to the back end of the car.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
and
gosh.
I just went, I can't afford to pay you to fix this. It was, and it certainly was more than a couple $1,000s to fix that car. But he said, you know what? It's my fault. I should have, before you got in this car, I should explain to you the rules.
Yes.
How the car functioned, work. I just assumed that you knew.
There's a book, an old book that was called The Rules of Life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot like that for people as we're beginning 2023. I have some of my clients, in counseling that are doing what's called cord cutting right now, mm-hmm. which on a spiritual level is looking at the individuals in your life that have been sucking all of your energy and saying, I can't do that anymore because it's not beneficial to me. And right. So, spiritually, energetically, being able to cut that cord. It doesn't mean maybe that person's out of your life, but it does mean that you no longer allow them to take your energy, leaving you with nothing. And so that's another, again, mindset is looking at what is beneficial and maybe what is detrimental.
Right. I have a client right now who's in South Africa. I've always wanted to go there. I keep on threatening her, I'm going to move in. Uh-huh. And so she said to me, her biggest takeaway was a technique that I taught called the freeze technique, and which coincides with cutting the cord.
Uh-huh.
Because what it does is it protects your energy and it pushes their energy away. And when you do it, with the idea, and it's just a simple technique. It's just like people have a tendency that they feel like they have energy come in the right side, leave on the left side, or that comes in from the back, it leaves from the front. So whatever way you something leaves your body, all you do is push that energy of that person. For me, it's my left side. Push that person and put ice around them so they're in an iceberg. And then you keep on surrounding it with more ice until you're happy with how the iceberg looks, and if there's two people involved, you just, surround both of them and then you put an iceberg in between them, So in case there's a three-way conversation, because those are never productive. It just pushes the people back. And she said that was the best thing that she learned in 2022 was doing that. She said, because I found that I was able to concentrate better, be more focused at work, have better clarity. We're also cleaning up her diet significantly. And she's having really great results. I mean, it's amazing. She says, it's amazing. I have never been this focused in a long time, and she's down to a pair of pants she wore before she was pregnant.
Really?
Without going on a diet to lose weight.
And so a lot of the, I guess, outtake, that people should be getting right now is that when we have emotional baggage because of a mindset that we adopted maybe back in childhood, that we've been lugging along with us, much like with Ebenezer Scrooge and Marley, they drug everything with them, that until you have that epiphany or the aha moment that says, I don't have to do this anymore. I can do it differently.
Yeah, I always used to start saying, thanks for sharing that with me,
mm-hmm.
which, my ex-husband, I used to say that to him and he would just, I could see the hair on his French neck just stick right up. Because there's, we have a lot of input, sensory input growing up. I mean, when you said that, I reminded me of my nephew when he was small. He loved my father, and my father smoked a pipe. And when my father was visiting my sister, he would always walk away from the patio in their backyard, smoking his pipe, and a lot of times he just held it in his hand. And so he would walk, and he would put the pipe in both hands behind to hold it in the back. And then one day, nobody said anything to Gary, and Gary got up and followed my father and walked exactly like him.
Really,
So what our parents teach us is so powerful.
it is. It
You
is.
know, and one of my mentors, and when I first started chiropractic, because I had fortunate to have this kind of influence around me, they brought Tony Robbins to come and see us. And as like when Tony was just starting out and he was just doing fire walks and bending spoons, but it was really great because he taught us about NLP and how we could use it in our practice. So that was very cool. And this guy said to us, he goes, at the end of the night, he goes, my father never said this to me, but I want my kid to grow up exceptional. And he said, so every night when he put him to bed, and he said, you know how important you are? And the son would go, very. And he would say, you are extraordinary. You go have good dreams, and I'll see you tomorrow.
That's beautiful.
And so he said that to him every night before he went to sleep. His kid woke up happy. His kid was productive. He did well in school. He got along with a lot of people. And every night he goes, you know who, like, he'd say, like, I'm very important. And he goes, and you're very extraordinary. And they had such a really like nice bond. I mean, I got to see the kid go from like 4 years old when I first met him to like 11. And then I didn't end up working with that group anymore. And I talked to him, but I've not run, paths with him or see what his son looks like. I should probably reach out and say that he's probably has
Right,
five
right.
kids now.
Oh my gosh.
But
Hope he's doing that with each of his children.
I think, those like big learning lessons like that. My father was the person who said, you can do it. He goes, out of all my children, if anybody can be an incredible electrical engineer, you can. And I just said to him, your friend's dad, because my father was an electrical engineer, he had a master's in electrical engineering. I go, all your friends are so boring. I just could not do that one. But he would always say, like, you're so smart. He always told me I was smart. I could achieve whatever I wanted to. I mean, he did science projects with me, where I didn't think I would use elastic pickle jars, that had that we had to soak the labels off that for acid-base indicators when I was 9 years old. And he said, how did you pick this project? And I said, it was on the next page in my book, in my chemistry book, I was like, in my chemistry kit. And so and then he worked in an Allied Chemicals at the time. I called him up and said, can you bring me home some phenolphthalein? And then he just said, that's a big word. Do you know what it's for? Oh, yes. And so I read him the directions and how much I needed, and he brought me a bottle of phenolphthalein home from work. And we did the project together so that we would have the right pieces of the puzzle, and then that my teacher was impressed with it. My science class, he sent it to the state, and I won second place in the state. Like, I don't remember it. My sister told me this. She goes, don't you remember that? And I said, no, I just was in school, I was just studying, and I like science, and science was always, pretty easy for me. And like the human frame, the human mind, even the other people who used to really interest me, if you think about like how powerful your mind is the people who they have witnessed, like levitating, the people who lay on nails, people like, when you're going through, I had a procedure done once where I said, I'm not going to take any meds for it. And they went like crazy chiropractor, kind of thing. I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. Because it was something that was going to remove a suspicious growth on my wrist, which ended up being basal cell. And I told the guy, just cut it. And he just said, it's really sensitive skin there. I said, I'll get over it. Just cut it. I'm not doing any meds. And even when I had my knee surgery, I waited 20, 36 hours before I took a med for my knee surgery.
Oh, wow.
And they just said, because I had arthroscopic surgery. So it's like your mind can control so many, if you can do little things like that, or if you can say, I can walk, I can do this, I can start, I can walk 2 miles every day. What does it take to do that? Do you have to get up a half hour beforehand? What kind of
Right.
changes do you have to make to be successful at that?
Right.
Because all plans that include success, or all success includes a plan,
A plan.
right?
Having said that, and I might have shared this with you, when we were just together once, but when I was, my son was two, and I decided to go back to graduate school. And I remember going to the dean of the department saying, if I can go through the program in a year rather than 2 years, do I have permission to do so? And he said, well, no one's ever done that. And I said, but do I have permission if I can do it? And he said, well, sure. And I did. And but it meant a tremendous amount of work on my part, but I had a timeline that I had to be on, and for a very various reasons. But it was a matter of having an internship and, all of the credits that I needed, and a thesis that was like 82 pages long that had to be presented at the end, and the whole nine yards. So when it part of it is the challenge, can you, and meeting the challenge. And part of it is, again, that mindset that says, if you believe you can, then you can. If you
Yeah.
believe you can't, then that is the verdict as well.
Right, belief, you like what would you say, like you a belief, desire, and expectation. And you have to be willing to take action. I had somebody tell me one time that, that they had the intention of doing something, that they aspired to, that, we're talking about aspire, intention, and I said, you have to have action.
Yes, yes.
You can have the intention from now until doomsday for X, Y, and Z. I said, unless you have the action to support the intention,
You can't
I
get
said,
there.
yeah, I can aspire to be a medical doctor all I want, unless I'm actually willing to commit to, like, being in that, applying, doing what I need to do to have all the pieces of the puzzle so I can take that next step together, and taking the time, the energy, and the money, because that way then you have more of a limitless plan to be able to get unstuck. Because you need your health for everything, and your mind's got to come along for that ride,
It does.
in order for it to be
Pat,
successful.
we are at the end of our show, so it went so
Yeah,
fast. So
it
tell
did.
everybody how to get to you real quickly before we close down.
Okay. A good way to get a hold of me is on LinkedIn. And that's how Lucy and I first met, is on LinkedIn, and we'll drop the link in to the for the show. Secondly is my Facebook page. And that is Dr. Papillon, just how my name appears. And that's in Facebook. I also have a brand new website coming out, and hopefully it's going to go live tomorrow. And that's healthteamnetwork.com, where, you can be a part of the community. Anyway, so I would love it for you to find me.
I am sure that everyone will be able to do that. And again, it'll be at the on the synopsis page. There will be links there for everyone to click on to find you. And thank you for listening to the show. And please go out there and make this your very best life. Bye-bye, everyone. See you next time.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.